need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
happy Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the left coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, of course, and I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, as I tell you every week, you know the drill. Interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Use the hashtag #TJRS or just follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Super simple. No reason not to follow and find out what's going on every week with the show and the venues where I edit. Let's get started. My first guest tonight is the former Colorado State Senator, Ted Harvey. Ted Harvey is, as I said, a former Colorado State Senator. He served in the Colorado House of Representatives from 2000 to 2006. He was an at-large delegate to the 2016 Republican National Convention from Colorado. And this is pretty interesting, I think. I want to get into this a little bit. He is the son of a Vietnam-era fighter pilot. And Ted Harvey has an undying passion to preserve the freedoms and liberties that generations of men and women have sacrificially secured for this nation. Ted Harvey, thanks for making time to be on the show tonight.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, it's great to meet you. There's a publicist named Joshua who has all these great people he represents, and he's communicating with me all the time. And I tell you what, he never disappoints. He finds the greatest people for guests. So when he mentioned you, I said, you bet, let's get him on. Very excited. I want to, before we get into the whole Hurricane Harvey deal, and by the way, in the words of my brother, some things just ruin a perfectly good name, don't they, Ted Harvey?
Well, I have a lot of family down in Texas, actually. I live down, my whole family on my father's side is down there. So don't mess with Texas.
Absolutely. Got to love that state and those people down there. But you are the son of this Vietnam-era fighter pilot. Tell us a little bit about that, because I'm a huge supporter of the military. I happen to have a very dear friend who's a pilot, so I'm flying a lot with him. And so I'm just very intrigued by pilots and, of course, by the military. What did your father fly? I'm thinking maybe it was an F-4 or something. But it was.
Yeah.
Tell us about his missions, et cetera.
Well, what's amazing is my family down in Texas. My grandfather was born literally in a dugout hole in the ground back in when they were breaking sod down in Texas 100 and whatever years ago. And they didn't even have a house when my grandfather was born. And you look at what happened in the United States from the time my grandfather was born to the time my father graduated from college and joined the Air Force and was one of the first 10 people ever to fly twice the speed of sound. That's a pretty amazing leap in technology and the power of a country's military in just one generation. And that, I think that speaks volumes to this country and what our capacity is when we set our mind to achieving something. And so, you know, that's one of the things that makes me so passionate about defending our country is we are unique among all countries that are out there. Our Constitution has given us the freedoms to achieve our own independent dreams and desires, which reap the rewards of our risks and our efforts. And because of that, it has led to the greatest inventions the world has ever seen.
And, certainly so.
My father was one of those that when he went to ROTC at Texas Tech University, he was able to become an officer in the Air Force and went and, like I said, was one of the first 10 people to fly twice the speed of sound in an F-104, not an F-4, but an F-104, and then went to Vietnam and flew the F-4, and he flew 178 missions in Vietnam and came back without a scratch. And when he was 38 years old, and I was 6 years old, he died of a heart attack at the age of 38. So he is somebody that, you know, most of the world would consider to be an American hero for all of his accomplishments. But I got to tell you, my mother is the one that really is the hero of the story, because she was left with three kids under the age of 12, and all she had was a high school degree, and she was left, you know, having to pick herself up by her bootstraps, and only in America was she can you have that kind of scenario. And she came back and took control of her life and our lives, and got a real estate license, started selling real estate, started buying and selling real estate, and eventually sent all three of us to college, and two of us have our masters, and my sister has owned her own pretty successful business here in Colorado for over 20 years, and my brother is the highest-ranking foreign service officer our nation has, and I went on to serve in the White House and serve in the state legislature and be a state senator. So
wow.
It's a pretty amazing American story about what you can do when you set your eyes to accomplish something here in this country.
Yeah, it's the American dream. And I'm always, everybody that listens to me knows, yada, 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 I'm the granddaughter of Norwegian immigrants. And the same sort of thing. They came here with nothing, and they died with a little something because they worked hard and they did it the right way. They saved. They worked. It was the whole work ethic, the American dream, doing it everything the right way, no scrimping or you know, no shortcuts. But it can be done. So I hear a story like yours, and I think it's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. What I thought of when you were talking of your mother is that movie, The Rookie, with Dennis Quaid. And
yep.
He's going off to play baseball, and he's worried about leaving his wife. And she looks at him and says, "Jimmy, I am a Texas woman. That means I don't need you around to get by." And she didn't mean that she didn't want him around or didn't love him, but she meant that she was going to make it. And so I think of your mom, and I thought, yep, it's that true grit that Americans
yep.
had to do what they needed to do to help their children and their families. Great. What a great story.
And, you know, her story is very similar to yours. Her parents came here from Sweden. They're first
oh, wow.
generation, so she's second generation Swede, 100%.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's like me. Grandpa came over not knowing a word of English by himself at age 15. And then
mm-hmm.
a few years later, he met my grandma and knew she was a nice Norwegian girl. So there you go.
Yeah, very similar to my mom's. It's exactly
yeah,
right.
It's fun to hear those stories because what they passed on to me is more precious than gold and silver, and that's those morals and values and ethics that are infused in everything they did, and that's priceless.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in Texas. And no wonder you know so much about Texas. This is fantastic. And particular Houston. Now, I heard the interview you did on I-24 News. It was with you and San Francisco talk show host Chip Franklin. And good old Chip was doing his darndest to slam everything President Trump had done since Hurricane Harvey hit land. And both anchors, in fact, were 100% pro-Chip Franklin and anti-Trump. So you, it seemed you were the token conservative, and they were completely adversarial. How do you think President Trump is doing in light of the hurricane? What are you hearing out of Texas, Ted Harvey?
Well, to that interview, I wasn't going to take the debate. And debate them on the partisan political issues of what's going on in the country. I think we have 35,000 refugees in the United States, literally today, down in Houston, that don't have homes, and they never will have the homes that they left. 35,000 1,000 refugees. And the Democrat Party and the mainstream media is never going to let up the nitpicking, bickering, partisan attacks on this president simply to make political gain, even when we have 35,000 people that are homeless and hundreds of thousands of people that are having to leave their homes just to get out of harm's way and go into shelters. This is the worst natural disaster in our nation's history. They call it a 500-year flood, but I think in the end it will be the worst natural disaster ever. It'll be the worst flood ever in the United States. We need to be focusing on what's going on there with those individuals. Whether, you know, we could care less, the administration could care less, the American people could care less, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, red, yellow, black, or white. They are Americans, and we need to do everything we can to rally around them, to help them. And the media is continuing to show their true colors in trying to find anything they can to nitpick the president and attack him purely on partisan basis. And fact is, the president and the administration is doing incredible work on preparing. They had all of their teams in place, their FEMA teams in place throughout the region days and days before the hurricane hit. And I think they, with the Texas government and the Houston government, have done incredible work to try to help these people. There's no way you can plan for a 500-year flood. But I think they've done an incredible job of trying to help these people as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, I've been very impressed so far. I also wanted to ask you if you saw the news conference today with Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo, where he was talking about the policeman that's been lost, that drowned.
No, I didn't see
that. Did you see that? Well, you've got to find it. It's online. I've seen it several places online now. I actually paused it and went back to see it from the beginning because I have the news on all the time, and sometimes things are in the background. I'm not paying a lot of attention. He tells the timeline of how that policeman was caught in an underpass and drowned, and they had to have divers find him. And then, of course, he had to tell the wife. He said some amazing things, and he broke up and was fighting back tears, which, of course, I had to run and get a Kleenex. It was pretty moving.
Yeah.
He was talking about what that police department has done, how everybody is showing up for work, how there's been some criticism that power bars have been given to the policemen as they're out there day after day straight. They're staying there, sleeping a little bit at night, and then carrying on. And he said, we have to give them some power bars. They cannot just be out there 24/7 with no food or water. And so I was very impressed. And the police chief said that though they are sad about their fallen officer, he said there is a good side to this in that he was a strong Christian. And he said his faith was so strong that his wife and his whole family, they're grieving him, but at the same time, they have hope. And he talked about that, which was very interesting. I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder if MSNBC or anybody else will carry that, because holy cow, he just talked about faith in a Christian and all that stuff. That's pretty offensive to most of mainstream media these days.
Yep, God bless Texas.
I feel the same way. I just, before I had you on, I just received an email from a girlfriend that's from Texas and asking everybody to pray for the Texans. But she had some amazing things to say about her family and Texans and you know, just saying that Texans, I've got it right here in front of me. She says, Texans are so resilient. They will come back stronger than ever and rebuild all that's been lost. I never count them out. They are amazing. And I think she's right. Texans are a tough breed, and they're good-hearted people, and I think they're going to do well. But, boy, do they need our prayers and our help right now.
They do. They do, and they certainly our prayers first and foremost, but they need our resources. There's some great organizations out there that are, you know, that they do the work that the rest of us don't do, and we need to help financially help them. And, you know, Samaritan's Purse and
yes.
Salvation Army and the Red Cross, those organizations, they come in times like this, and they know what they're doing, and they need the help, because I guarantee you a flood like this is going to stretch their resources beyond anything that they could have ever planned for.
Yes, yes. I will be back after the break with Colorado State Senator Ted Harvey. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robart Companies. They are a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robartguns.com. Let me tell you, I was kidding around and told someone, if your blaster is a disaster, you need to send her to Robar for an NP3 finish. Now, the NP3 finish, I didn't even know what that was until I started working with Robar a few years ago. It's an electroless nickel-based finish for steel, stainless steel, and aluminum alloys that co-deposits, get this, submicron particles of PTFE. And that is, I won't even try to say the chemical name, but that's, you know, it is Teflon, but it's a super Teflon. It's electroless nickel. It is so strong that Department of Defense uses Robar's NP3 on its fighter helicopters. So what that means to you and to me is that your gun works smoothly. It stays clean longer. You rarely need to clean it, and it's impervious to elements. Fantastic stuff. So check out the NP3 finish at RobarGuns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed. Not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview, at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road. His first traffic ticket. His first, and if he can help it, his last, opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
This is an important message on carbon monoxide poisoning for people in hurricane-affected areas. Consumers need to be aware that portable generators, charcoal grills, and camp stoves produce carbon monoxide. At low levels, carbon monoxide can make people sick. At high levels, it can kill within minutes. Consumers should never use these products in or near your home or garage. Only operate them well away from buildings. During times of crisis, don't sacrifice safety. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast, It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
With guest former Colorado State Senator Ted Harvey. If you're just joining the show, Ted Harvey was not only former Colorado State Senator, but he also served in the Colorado House of Representatives from 2000 to 2006. And he is also chairman of the Defend Trump Committee. What is the website for that, Ted Harvey?
The Committee to Defend the President.com.
Okay, and we'll talk a little bit more about that before we end this segment, because I want people to know more about that, what it's all about, how they can be up to date on what's happening there. But I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on with President Trump and the criticism. The fact is, he's been criticized for doing anything other than staring at Hurricane Harvey. Now, he should be doing a lot about Hurricane Harvey, and his administration is doing a lot about Hurricane Harvey. In fact, he flew to Corpus Christi today, and I'm sure that you saw that he and Melania and the whole team, including Secretary Price and Secretary Carson, they were all dressed for work. So just casual slacks, shirts, jackets, and ball caps. They were dressed like somebody that's on a job site. They weren't dressed like politicians. They were there to work, to get stuff done, to make sure that Texas gets the help it needs. But one of the criticisms President Trump has received is concerning the Sheriff Joe Arpaio pardon. And the fact is, Sheriff Joe, he's loved in Arizona. He's saved the taxpayers millions. He uses common sense. And Ted Harvey, what were your thoughts about the misdemeanor he was charged with for continuing his illegal alien traffic stops, I guess? And what is your opinion about the pardon?
Well, I think it's appropriate to pardon him. I think that the Obama administration went judge shopping, and they tried to find a judge that would move forward with the prosecution of Sheriff Joe. All he was doing was defending our borders, defending our sovereignty, and during a traffic stop, if the individual was not able to provide documentation to prove that they were in the country legally, he was then arresting them and handing them over to ICE. That is the law of the land. That is the law of Arizona. I actually carried a similar bill here in Colorado, which required the police forces in Colorado to hand over potential illegal immigrants to ICE. And that's all Judge Arpaio was doing. And the Obama administration railroaded him and said that he was profiling.
Profiling
Hispanics. And that is not the case. If they had a driver's license, they were free to go. If they didn't have a driver's license, they didn't have any other documentation to prove that they were here legally, then he arrested them for coming into the country illegally, and he handed them over to ICE. That is fully appropriate for a law enforcement officer that's on the border between Mexico and Arizona. And the judge told him to stop doing it, and he didn't stop doing it, and he was prosecuted for violating the court order. That is it. That's all he did, was violated the court order, and he was convicted for that. And President Trump pardoned him for that minor violation. The media is going crazy, and they would be going crazy regardless of when the president did it, but they're going crazy over this when they totally turned a blind eye to President Clinton pardoning Mark Rich after His wife gave the Clinton campaign millions and millions of dollars. They totally turned the eye to Obama when he pardoned over 1,200 people in the last couple years of his administration, and some of them were violent criminals that killed police officers, and they turned a blind eye to that. But when President Trump pardons a guy who was doing his job and violated a court order, which went against what he believed was his responsibility as the sheriff, the media is going crazy. And then they say that it's totally inappropriate because the president did it on a Friday. Do you know how many presidents over the history of our country have done things on a Friday afternoon to avoid the media backlash? This is nothing new that every other president in the history of our country has done, but the media is trying to find some way to blow a small mountain into a huge molehill to make an issue out of it so that they can go after the president. And I think they're hurting themselves. They're hurting the Democrat Party, and that's great. Let them continue to drive the Democrat Party into the ground, because this is all they have to offer. They don't have anything to offer to the American people that the American people are willing to buy anymore. And the more they show their true colors, the better it is for America, the better it is for freedom, and the better it is for the conservative movement that's trying to take back our country.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit before we have to wrap up in about a minute. The Committee to Defend the President, and it's committeetodefendthepresident.com. Tell us about that. What's it all about? How should people get involved?
Well, we started this effort with the Stop Hillary PAC, and we spent $6 million in key races across the country to make sure Hillary Clinton never stepped foot in the White House. And after the election and Trump was ultimately elected, and we saw what the left was doing, having a national temper tantrum on every corner across the United States and trying to destroy the president, trying to discredit his election and his presidency, our members rose up and they said, we need to continue this effort. So we changed the name to the Committee to Defend the President, and we have now become the largest PAC in the United States that is defending the president. And if any of your listeners would like to follow us, they can go to our Facebook page, Committee to Defend the President. We have close to 1 million people following our organization. And if they want to contribute to our effort to help us in defending the president and holding politicians accountable that are not voting for the conservative agenda that Trump got elected on, they can go to our website, committeetodefendthepresident.com, and they can see the commercials that we're running there, and they can also contribute to our effort there as well.
That's fantastic, and I remember seeing all the efforts of the Stop Hillary PAC, and that, well done. I mean, kudos on that. I wondered what you'd been doing since you didn't run again as state senator. I thought a person doesn't get that involved in politics and the country and being a patriot and then step too far afield. So now I see you're still fighting the good fight, and that's great to hear.
Yeah. Once I saw what happened with Benghazi and the way that Secretary of State Hillary was handling that situation, and as I said, my brother's a career Foreign Service officer, when Benghazi happened, that hit pretty close to home, and I wasn't just going to sit back and allow Hillary Clinton to walk into the presidency. So we started the Stop Hillary PAC, and I believe we were instrumental in making sure that she never stepped foot in the White House.
Well, I'm very thankful for those efforts, because I felt the same way. I wrote a number of articles titled The 47 Bodies in the Wake of Hillary Clinton, and I did a lot of research over the last 5 years, and about a year's worth of research went into those articles, and the more I learned about her, the more egregious she seemed to be. So I'm thankful for everybody that helped keep her from the White House. Our time's run out. Ted Harvey, it's been great to meet you via the airwaves. Thank you for taking time to be on the show. And you keep fighting there in Colorado.
Well, Tammy, thank you for having me on the show. And God bless you for all of your hard work and having me on. And I'd love to do it again in the future.
Oh, I'd love to have you. Thank you so much. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with my friend, host, and pundit, Scott Jones. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. Rent-A-Computer can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs right to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. A few popular event rental products include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. So, if you're planning your next corporate event, remember rentacomputer.com provides superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients, both large and small. To learn more, visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and joining me now is my friend Scott Jones. Scott Jones has served three, count them, U.S. presidents and two Texas governors as a key volunteer staff or government appointee, and that's including two terms as chairman of the Texas Department of Transportation, MVB, under governors W.P. Clements and George W. Bush. Scott is also the founder and host of Pissed Off Politically Speaking, Pops Radio, which airs every Monday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the 405 Radio. If you're not listening to that, you ought to be, because he's pretty darn good. Scott Jones, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's always even better when I have you as my guest co-host, so we have a good time.
We do. I was just speaking with you and your guest, Ed Henry, yesterday. That was a blast. And even after having me on yesterday as a guest co-host, you still agreed to come on my show. So I'm honored.
Hey, anytime. Speaking of, just a quick note. I talked to Ed, and I told him I wanted to buy the books. He's going to autograph for us, and I'm going to send them, and they'll be on their way here shortly.
Oh, how wonderful is that? I know. He said he was going to autograph a book for me, and I was like, yippee skippy. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool deal.
I like books. Ed Henry was a great, great guy. So Scott, you know me. We were talking yesterday a little bit about the mainstream media meltdown and how the mainstream media and even some outlets, anchors and pundits at Fox News, that they have this incessant obsession with President Donald Trump. They don't seem to understand that he won the election. He's president. He's trying to get some decent things done. He's not perfect, but he's trying to get some good things done. And it's worse than ever with Donald Trump because virtually all the time, the media is lambasting everything he does. So there are two articles that just came out at Town Hall that I think are excellent. I thought you would really, really like them. And I want to talk about this Trump meltdown in light of these two articles, one written by my good friend Kurt Schlichter, one written by an acquaintance who's been on my show, David Limbaugh. And Scott, neither of these two men were initially in the Trump camp. And that's important for people to know as they read these articles.
Yep. So that's right. Have you heard the latest scandal, by the way?
No. What's the latest scandal?
Melania Trump wore the wrong kind of shoes on the way to Texas. Literally spending time on that at CNN.
They didn't like her white tennis shoes?
No, she was wearing high heel shoes as she walked to the helicopter, and Lord knows she didn't bring along anything to change into, but they literally made a news story out of the fact that she's so detached that she would wear high heel shoes to a hurricane event. And of course, when she disembarked the plane in Corpus Christi today, I've been watching it all day.
I've been watching quite a bit of it, yeah.
She had on tennis shoes and slacks and was dressed appropriately.
A white blouse. She looked fantastic. Aviator.
But my point on that, Tammy, is that's just, again, prima facie evidence of your setup of what we're about to talk to. I mean, this Trump derangement syndrome has gotten almost, you know, if it wasn't so offensive, it would be ridiculous.
It would be funny. Yes.
Yeah. It's pathetic. This is America's mainstream media.
Yes, and it's not even implicit. It is absolutely in your face, explicit.
You and I were talking about yesterday when we had Ed Henry on. I mean, they don't even try to pretend to be unbiased anymore. I'm talking about hard news reporters, not opinion people like Hannity or what's his name? AC, what's Andrew? What's his name? Anderson Napolitano. Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper.
You know, there's the opinion side, but hard news journalists don't even pretend to be objective.
They absolutely do not. Well, let's start with David Limbaugh's article, and I'm going to get it up at Barb Wire also, and I'm also got Kurt Schlichter's article up at barbwire.com as well. But David Limbaugh's article is titled, Trump Movement Transcends Trump, and it begins, do you equal opportunity Trump haters ever listen to yourselves? You sometimes remind me of those people in the movies who live the same day over and over. You must wake up every day wholly oblivious to your behavior the day before, gleefully imagining how you could dismantle Trump with a single tweet, a doleful column, or a brief television critique, even if your criticisms sound new to you. Most of us were here yesterday, and during the weeks and months leading up to yesterday, what you are offering is not profound. Sometimes the absurdity reaches comical proportions. You figuratively subject Trump to rapid machine gun fire every day, and then you lay your weapons down, walk over to the camera, and castigate Trump for bleeding. Pretty good stuff.
Well, It is, you know, and it kind of echoes what Tucker Carlson said the other night. And I'm going to find that clip and I'm going to post it because, you know, Bill Kristol, somebody who has fallen out of favor with me long ago at Weekly Standard, yes. You know, Tucker Carlson, along the same lines of what Limbaugh is saying here, and kudos to Limbaugh. One thing about him, he's an honest broker, okay? And you and I both know that he supported Ted Cruz.
Yes.
You and I supported other people during the primaries, okay? But he's honest enough to step up to the plate and say, the guy's our president, and this is unfair. But the way Tucker encapsulated is, these are people who, at some point in their life, achieve something, but are now insignificant people. They haven't accomplished anything in years. They sit in the cheap seats and throw rocks, and it's an echo chamber of the Bill Kristols of the world and people like that. And I got to tell you, Tammy, my ass is on fire about fellow GOPers. I won't even call them fellow GOPers. Like, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
The McCains of the world, the Lindsey Grahams and others, even Paul Ryan this time, throwing rocks at this president. I am so sick and tired of it. And I think Kurt really
Slichter?
Captures that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really captures that. But the thing is, and it's like you and I talked about yesterday, Tammy, my concern is this about all of it. And I do think the media's credibility is now below that of Congress, I think, if you believe the latest polls. But what I'm concerned about is that whole thing, if you tell a lie long enough, people will start believing it. Yeah. I'm really, really on edge of my seat to see if the 2018 midterms are going to be, and this is the transcends part of Limbaugh's article, is it going to be a referendum on Trump? Or is it going to be a situation where people are even more pissed off at people that you and I have talked about, both inside the GOP and outside the GOP? Will it be an extension of the movement, I guess is what I'm struggling to say, versus a referendum on Trump and all this petty bullshit? My gut tells me, and I don't know how you feel about it, I think the dishonesty and the demagoguery that you're citing and that both Tucker Carlson and Schlichter have cited here, I think that's going to be further turn off. And you add in Antifa and all the shenanigans of the Democrats, my gut tells me it's going to be an extension of that movement. No matter what Trump does between now and then, that people are tired of the entrenched interest and all of this demagoguery, that they're going to send another message of throw the bums out. I could be wrong. I'm just curious what you think about that.
I think you might be right, because as I talk to people, they say they are disgusted. As I mentioned yesterday on your show, it is pretty infrequent that my pastor comes right out and says, if you listen to misinformation, you make really bad decisions and you give bad advice. Think about all the misinformation we have today, this fake stuff and fake news. You turn on CNN and you think you're getting the facts, but you're not. And he just blatantly threw it out there and said, I hope that we, as people of faith, are seeking out the truth and not believing misinformation. And I thought, wow, that's pretty well said for a preacher. And
you made a good point yesterday too, when, you know, they started out with Russia, and then they went racist, and then they went to, you know, the next thing. They have tried every angle on Trump and none of it is stuck. And right now, all the Democrats stand for, and for the love of God, I know I'm going to go to hell, but I hope something strikes Joe Scarborough and the gonads. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of hearing
him
all
and his
blatant. Yeah, I mean, I'm so tired of hearing all the rank dishonesty, and where they don't have facts, they'll make them up. And I'm just really hoping, I guess I'm having to place my faith, Tammy, in the American public. But the point you made is exactly true. They've gone from you know, event to event, throwing it at Trump, and none of it is stuck. And I think that the American people are hip to this insider establishment gang. And I know his 35% base is going to stick with him. But I think there's probably another 5 to 10% that are the silent minority now, if you get my meaning.
Yes. And to me, as we coming up to the end of the segment here, but it reminds me of Inspector Dreyfus in the Pink Panther movies, who Clouseau drives him insane to the point where he's laughing and his eyes are twitching and he just wants to destroy Clouseau. And that is our media right now. They are in lockstep and a giant Inspector Dreyfus that are going insane. And it doesn't matter.
My one final thought on that, Tammy, and that's a great analogy. I throw people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and others on the GOP side in the same basket as I do these Democrats. They would rather see this president fail and take the country with him rather than admit he does anything right or good for the American people. And it is happening in spite of that.
Yep. Yep.
And I think disgusting. The American people are feeling it, Tammy. I really hope they are. I am.
Yes, I am too. I'll be back with my wonderful guest, Scott Jones, talking about the Trump derangement syndrome. The Tammy Jackson Show, sponsored by dispatches at johnbiver.com. That's your site for the best conservative resources to fight and win the information war. And I will be back to wrap up the hour with Scott Jones.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com. Make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show with my great guest, Scott Jones. If you're just joining the show, Scott Jones has actually served 3 U.S. presidents and 2 Texas governors, and He is a talk show host. His show, Pissed Off Politically Speaking, airs every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time. But best of all, he's my friend, and he's good at this stuff. We're talking about the hatred of Trump, Trump derangement syndrome by the left, and the media. And we're discussing two articles that address just that. Before the break, we were talking about David Limbaugh's article at townhall.com titled, Trump Movement Transcends Trump. Now I want to talk about Kurt Schlichter's Town Hall article, and it's titled, Conservatism is Not a Suicide Pact. Kurt writes, elect more true cons isn't a plan. It's an aspiration and not much of one. I don't need another cliche or another citation to general principles or some variant of my new favorite all-purpose get out of having an actual plan free card. The old we're better than this line. See, I reject the notion we are never somehow morally obligated by conservative principles to lose to liberals. If I have to swallow something awful, I'll take half a loaf any day over an entire loaf of liberal dung like Filonia Van Pantsuit. I refuse to sit back and allow libs to be victorious because I won't dirty my hands fighting fire with fire. If that makes me not conservative enough for some, I can live with that. I can't live with leftist tyranny.
Well, and I couldn't have said it better, Tammy, but I think what I was struggling to say in the last segment is the element I'm talking about with these GOPers is not even as much the individuals that I cited. You know, it's what Carly Fiorina said that really appealed to me about the political ruling class. You know, there's one set of rules for us, and then there's another set of rules for all you peasants. And I do think that part of that entrenched interest of K Street and the mentality of, you know, I've been in Congress for 30 years and I'm entitled to this and entitled to that, and I know better than you. I think that's part of that Trump movement that David was trying to describe.
Yes.
Agree or
yes.
Disagree?
No, I agree, because these people say, hey, I've been doing this for all these decades and you're a Johnny come lately. You're just some roughshod New York businessman. What in the heck do you know? You don't know a thing and you're not going to tell us what to do. And so every time he makes what might be a little faux pas, it's not a huge thing, but it's a stumble. They're all over him like a bunch of vultures to roadkill. That's what they're like. They're waiting for his next stumble. And it doesn't even have to be anything big. I heard an interview over the weekend of my first guest, and one of the pundits on the show, or one of the personalities that had the show, I guess, asked him, well, don't you think it's unseemly that he tweeted during this time that Harvey's going on? And he didn't tweet anything off color. I think he was tweeting about Sheriff David Clark's new book and how great it is. So he tweeted that, and they're jumping all over him that he should not have tweeted during Hurricane Harvey while people are suffering. Well, he's taking care of that, but he can do a few
news,
other
news
things.
Bulletin, people. The president of the United States can do more than one thing at a time.
Yes, and they, she was making it sound as if he had done something like told a joke about victims of Harvey, as opposed to just doing something entirely unrelated.
And you know what, Tammy? You know what? You know that I'm a fifth generation or sixth generation Texan.
I know that.
You know what the reaction is down here when you hear that crap? We are all collectively, even up to our neck in waters, flipping the middle finger at people like that. I'm telling you right now, I have children and grandchildren in harm's way down in Houston. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give a damn what Joe Scarborough and his mall co-host says or anything like that. The people down here has appreciated his leadership, how all levels of government have worked together. And if he wants to tweet about a damn book or something else, or guess what? I mean, North Korea shot a missile that went over our ally Japan, the President of the United States can handle more than one thing at a time. But that is a perfect example of what you've been talking about and what I've talked to you about on the show. It doesn't matter. If he cured cancer, they'd complain he didn't do it soon enough. And it is so ridiculous. I'm just wondering, you know, I tried to get it out of Ed Henry when you and I were talking to him yesterday. What is the breaking point? Is the breaking point that the mainstream media pulling this crap is just wholesale dismissed and we don't have a fourth estate to really keep an eye on government because people tune them out? Or are we going to see more clashes with Antifa and Trump supporters? I mean, that thing that happened in Berkeley, Tammy, they were just Trump supporters. They weren't, you know, KKK or like what happens in Charlottesville, and they were physically assaulted. Is it going to be riots in the streets or, you know, what is the breaking point? And it's real frustrating to get my arm around.
Yeah, and it's absolute anarchy. And I'll tell you what, I knew some people that had friends that were in Charlottesville. I was getting reports from one guy that was a guest on my show who was on the phone with them that was getting live reports and live video as it was happening down there. The people that had the permit for the Charlottesville protest were not the KKKers. They were just a bunch of patriots. They were very innocuous, and they were going to have a peaceful protest. In fact, they asked David Duke and the KKKers to leave. They did not want them there. But there was no violence until Antifa and BLM showed up, and then all hell broke loose. But the media would not cover that. So I think we are seeing pretty much the end of good journalism as we know it. And there are a few people that are sticking to their guns. There's the Ed Henrys of the world. There's somebody like, you know, like a Sean Hannity that it, while not perfect, at least tries to tell the truth, and Tucker Carlson. And there's a lot of radio people that are doing a good job. But wow, mainstream media as we know it, I think we ought to sound, you know, the bugle, taps out of play, because I think they're pretty much dead.
Well, I mean, one could take the view, Tammy, that this stuff's scary as hell.
It certainly is. Hey, we've already come to the end of the hour, and it went so fast.
I know.
When I have you on, the time goes too fast. We got to figure out a way to do this more, Scott, because you and I have way too much fun doing this.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate you, and it's always an honor to be on your show, Tammy. It really is.
So people can follow you on Twitter. You're at Pops Radio.
You bet, and every Monday, I guess what, I'm 7 Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, and yep. I'll announce right here, since you agreed to it, I'm going to try to have you on once a month rotating through my show, because we do have so much fun.
We do, and I appreciate it. So, Scott Jones, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. You know I'll have you back again.
Anytime.
All righty. Hey, thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. We'll be back next week. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because you and I have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. A good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't.
on the side.